Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have back as my guest Dr. Kedar Prasad. And today we're discussing treat concussion, TBI, and PTSD with vitamins and antioxidants. The concussive injuries that football players are exposed to has been in the news lately, as well as in a popular movie. There is a lot of discussion in society about this right now. It is widely felt that there's no treatment for this, and so this book is particularly interesting to me because whenever there's not a treatment, I think we need to turn to natural medicine. And post-traumatic stress disorder is a significant problem, not just in past wars like Vietnam, but the current wars, and that also is heavily resistant to treatment. Dr. Prasad does a great job of analyzing what is going on in the brain with these injuries and suggesting some treatments that are non-toxic and very effective. Welcome, Dr. Prasad. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Susan, for inviting me. And this is my pleasure to discuss some of these issues that you have raised. And go ahead.
So would you give the listening audience a little bit about your background and how you became interested in natural medicine?
Yeah, I was a professor at the University of Colorado Medical School for a long time and did a lot of basic research in the laboratory on nutrition and cancer, nutrition and neurological diseases. And we have over half a million dollars per year support from the National Institute of Health to study these issues. And I became very surprised to find out that the main reasons for all these diseases that you mentioned, Susan, for example, concussive injury, traumatic brain injury, and post-traumatic stress disorders, there are some biochemical defects which appears to be common to all these diseases. And so obviously that the question arose that how we can do this thing to reduce these biochemical defects, namely increase in oxidative stress and inflammation. And another specifically important is a release of glutamate, because as you know, in a PTSD, it not only increases oxidative stress and chronic inflammations are involved, but they also have a excessive release of glutamate, which as you know is a normal neurotransmitter in the brain. Mm-hmm. And this excessive release of glutamate causes a lot of fear, anxiety, depressions. And so these three biochemical defects are common to all these three diseases that you mentioned: concussive injury that we commonly see among football players, and a traumatic brain injury can be also in civilians. For example, civilian can fall down, car accident, motorcycles, and CD. So these occur not only in the troops, but also in the civilian.
Yeah,
and
the interesting thing that I'm seeing reading your book is that this is very similar to the idea of biological terrain and cancer. In other words, there's certain terrains or the garden in which cancer grows. And it seems to me that after injury, and it doesn't really, it's interesting because, you know, there's traumatic injury, which we understand.
Yes.
And you talk about concussive versus invasive, you know, like when something actually goes through the skull. But also post-traumatic stress disorder, which is just witnessing something traumatic. It's very fascinating that the same chronic inflammation, oxidative stress, and cytokine release occurs in all three. It's almost like the brain has a way of responding, but it's limited in how it can respond.
Yeah, because you know your own defense system gets overwhelmed by excessive release of free radicals and pro-inflammatory cytokines, and in naturally in our brain, you can't prevent the release of glutamate But there is a mechanism called GABA neuron, which produces inhibitory molecules that can calm down glutamate. So that is also impaired. And so specifically in case of a PTSD, this is a very serious issue. So the question is how we can do it to reduce the oxidative stress, inflammation, chronic inflammation, or release of the pro-inflammatory cytokines, as well as the release of glutamate. And glutamate is not only can excite neurons, but glutamate by itself is very toxic to the nerve cell. This is very also important. So it has double function. Excessive release, they can excite you and create fear and anxiety. But if it is not prevented, it can accumulate more in the brain and start causing actual damage rather than the functional damage. You see what I mean? And so it is very important to prevent the not only the release of the glutamate, but also its potential toxicity.
Before we get into that, I just want to mention something that I see in my clinical practice that you may or may not be aware of. You know, we deal with a lot of women with mold in their breast implants, and in fact, I just filmed the third Monsters Inside Me, mold in breast implants. That's a monster. And these women who can't get rid of the biotoxin have, every 100% of them have severe anxiety, which is treated with GABA and the cofactors pretty successfully. So, you know, that's another brain injury by a biotoxin that is producing severe anxiety. I just want to mention that to you because that there's only so many ways in which the brain can respond to injury.
That's right. But, you know, I heard that there was a, I was attending a meeting at the National Institute of Health, and somebody in from Israel developed a drug which can release the excessive amount of gamma-aminobutyric acid, and because that will then calm down the glutamate-producing neuron. But then the side effects of that was extremely toxic, so they could not use in humans. And so it is important how to balance all these things at the same time. If you do just one, we say, take care of the glutamate issue, for example, your anxiety will be less, you know, you will be less depressed. But then what you are going to do with the increased oxidative stress and inflammation, they have to be also decreased at the same time, ideally. And so this is a real challenge. And as you know, most of the clinical studies they have done it, they have used a single antioxidant in almost all diseases.
Which doesn't work by itself.
No. So we feel that in order to take care of these three particular issues at the same time, this is very important, at the same time, one has to have a multiple micronutrient preparation which can reduce the oxidative stress and chronic inflammation and glutamate release and its toxicity at the same time. Now, I have proposed the idea, and I think this has been mentioned in the book, but I have published more paper recently, showing that in order to optimally reduce oxidative stress and chronic inflammation, you have to increase the antioxidant enzymes,
like salt.
And not only antioxidant enzyme, but also detoxifying enzymes, as well as you have to increase the level of dietary and endogenous antioxidant compounds at the same time.
Right,
it's important. So the question: how you increase the level of antioxidant enzymes and the detoxifying enzymes? Well, people have done a study showing that if you activate another, they call it a NRF2, you may have heard NRF2, or nuclear transcriptional factor 2. When you activate this particular gene, or protein in this case, then they enhance it. They go from the cytoplasm to the nucleus, and then enhance the level of antioxidant enzymes and as well as the detoxifying enzymes. So the activation of NRF2 pathway becomes very critical for enhancing the level of antioxidant enzymes and detoxifying enzymes. And so fortunately, it turned out that certain antioxidants can activate. But what happens in these diseases like PTSD or the traumatic brain injury and whether it is a mild form, concussive or penetrating form, these NRF2 become very unresponsive to normal response, becomes impaired. For example, normally you require a free radical or reactive oxygen to activate NRF2, but they become impaired. They don't respond it. Fortunately, certain antioxidants will activate NRF2 pathway without the need for reactive oxygen species. And so that's very important. So we have prepared a micronutrient formulation that can, that I have listed in the book, you know, many of them are there, that will activate the NRF2 pathway. At the same time, they will increase the level of dietary and and endogenous antioxidant. But many people right now, what they are doing, it is, we can develop a drug which can activate NRF2 pathway, and that's all. But this may be okay to some extent, but not optimally, because under high oxidative stress and high chronic inflammation conditions, the antioxidant compound like vitamin E, C, glutathione, they also decrease. So you can't just one pathway, you increase it and get the maximal result, optimal results. You have to not only increase the antioxidant enzymes and detoxifying enzyme level, but you have to also increase the level of dietary and endogenous antioxidant at the same time. This is very important at the same time. And as far as the glutamate is concerned, there had been a preclinical study showing that certain B vitamins as well as certain antioxidants can prevent the release of glutamate, and also, as you know, that antioxidant has been also shown to prevent the toxicity of the glutamate on neuron cells. Again, these are all preclinical studies; they have done it.
And so this is really the basis of functional medicine. Functional medicine looks at these big diagrams of all these pathways that are interacting with one another and decides, you know, if I increase this and do that, then I push that. And then if, you know, it's not just taking a drug and interrupting a cycle, because the history of pharmaceuticals is that that's not really a great idea, because then you get all these side effects. Because downstream, like for the statins, downstream you don't make coenzyme Q10. So, you know, you can't just stop a cycle. And I want to make this more personal, Dr. Prasad. I mean, a lot of people are probably listening going, I don't know anybody with any of these injuries. But every single one of you out there is using a cell phone. And Dr. Carlos, who was on this show, did $20 million worth of research for the cell phone companies, and he found out that the neuroepithelial malignancies that cell phones are causing are due to free radicals. So I want you all to pay very close attention to what Dr. Prasad is saying, because this does apply to you if you're using a cell phone, correct?
Yeah, cell phone. Yeah, that's right. Cell phone, if you use a prolonged cell phone, there has been an epidemiology study shown that the incidence of a brain tumor like schwannoma or other kind of brain tumor increases the risk. And this is due to generation of free radicals. So I think it's very important to figure out how to attenuate these things at the same time. So, you know, our body has a certain amount of defense mechanism. But when you get exposed to either you know, radiation or ultraviolet light or like you were talking about the cell phone.
Smart meters.
Radiation. Yeah.
Yep. Smart meters and, or cell phone towers near your house. It's all additive.
Yeah.
That's the
additive,
problem.
Exactly.
It's all additive.
Exactly.
And most of us live in cities. I mean, very few of us are out in the country away from these things.
Exactly. So we can't avoid that thing. So second best thing we can do, what they produce, let us block that one. So if they produce free radicals and then inflammation, let us see how we can block them so that we can enjoy the living of it. You know, if you enjoy the living of a city or an environment, you know, you have all kind of pollutions. Those things are beyond our control. But what is in our control is that these kind of certain taking a good diet, good lifestyle, we can do it, as well as some supplement of good micronutrient that can do the job. And I was trying to do the a study on a PTSD in collaboration with the Los Angeles. They have a big VA hospital there. And Dr. Murray Brown was in charge. But problem was that, to get the funding to do a research on a multiple micronutrient is no-no with the established scientists. They want to do one thing.
Vitamin one
at a time.
Thing, yeah. Study one
so
thing.
So we tried. Yeah, we tried, but we could not get funded. But if you look the science behind it, it makes a common sense once you know these things. And this will be much cheaper study than doing one at a time, and then you get a negative results or no results. For example, in case of Parkinson's disease or Alzheimer's disease, they tried one vitamin E alone, didn't do anything. They would not do anything. As a matter of fact, if you use the single antioxidant for a long time and you have a high oxidative environment, you know, Susan, that this antioxidant will be oxidized. And then it will act as a pro-oxidant rather than as an antioxidant. So over a long period of time, if you just use one and you have a high oxidative environment in your body, with the disease like PTSD or TBI or concussive injury.
We're smoking.
Yeah, smoking. Yeah, these people that has a smoking problem too. So again, you know, second best thing we do, first you don't smoke, but second best thing we do, take something which can reduce the impact. And most recently, you know, the electronic cigarette can impact, especially those people who are, you know, young and veterans and, you know, they smoke. Mm. They might do also electronic cigar, you know, or cigarette. They are as deadly as the tobacco smoke.
Yeah, we use them primarily to just get rid of nicotine because nicotine's bad for surgery, but because things can die. But you're right; there's a lot of studies coming out on electronic cigarettes showing that they're not healthy.
I did a critical analysis in those things, so that the electronic cigarettes also have a heavy metals, and then when they explode, they generate very fine particles, and then you inhale. And that part will be accumulated in your lung.
Right.
It can be metabolized. But anyway, so I think, you know, for example, you know, for prevention, I think I recommend that, you know, like even the college athlete or high school athlete who are playing football or soccer, whether boy or girls, they should be on some kind of a micronutrient program to reduce the potential impact of concussive injury. And, you know, for example, football player has a helmet. But they have done some research on that, and they found that there is about 20% reduction in concussive injury. But see,
that's not much.
not much. But when the heads rock back and forth, then the helmet can't do anything. You can prevent physical impact, but when you are moving it back and forth, rocking back and forth, and your inside brain is moving back and forth, that can be prevented by helmet.
Yeah.
And so I think, but if you combine those things with a micronutrient mm-hmm. program, then it will be much better to reduce.
And well, so, I was at a Washington University alumni dinner, and I was sitting next to a neurologist, and the coach mm-hmm. from WashU was speaking, and when he mm-hmm. called for questions, the neurologist raised his hand and said, how can you justify still having football at WashU when we know the effects of this traumatic brain injury? And the coach said, well, let me start with the easy question. So obviously this is a bigger social issue. And yeah. Until we get a treatment for this, it is a serious issue because we're exposing a large number of people to a potentially incurable disease.
Yeah, not only that, but the statistic is societal cost of is for example concussive injury mm-hmm. and the TBI, you know, preventive TI, is a $17 billion per year.
Right.
$17 billion.
It is because people with significant traumatic brain injuries can't take care of themselves.
Yeah,
but they
yeah,
don't necessarily
yeah.
die. You know, they live long
no,
lives.
No, that's the whole
you know,
thing.
They
yeah.
they you know, it's not like other illnesses. They live very long lives, unfortunately.
And this has been estimated that the because of the violence, gun violence, and so on in this country, about 30% of the traumatic brain injury are of penetrating type of brain injury.
Mm-hmm.
And it appears that about 5.3 million Americans who had a severe traumatic brain injury and require long-term assistance for daily living. And this cost is $75 billion per
right.
year. So societal cost is not only family cost, but also societal cost is tremendous.
Yeah.
And
then you add in autism, which is basically a chemical injury. It's really incredible, the cost of these brain injuries.
And
you know, cod liver oil is known, if the kid gets the vaccines and then, you know, spikes the fever, if they give cod liver oil right then, there's been a lot of rescue of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Have
mm-hmm.
you heard that?
No, I have not, no.
Yeah, a number of people have told me that from personal experience. They gave it to their
yeah.
children, and because one child had autism already, and they read up on it, and they gave the vaccine anyway, and then they used the cod liver oil rescue. I think cod liver oil and other similar substances will stabilize the against the chemical injury to the brain.
Yeah, I mean, cod liver oil, as you know, has the highest level of vitamin A. I mean, they would be like...
yeah, there you go. I knew you would
yeah.
know why.
Yeah.
That's good. And what does vitamin A do? Because you talk about it in your book.
Yeah, vitamin A is very important for brain, for your eye. Actually,
mm-hmm.
their story is that even in a B.C., when the Roman soldier used to get the night blindness,
right.
because they would not eat fruit and vegetables, and they used to then go to Egypt, and an Egyptian, you know, doctor, local doctor, will give them a liver extract,
mm-hmm.
liver extract, and it will be cured. And we know now because of vitamin A deficiency, you have night
right.
blindness and all kind of neurological issues.
Yeah.
And so I think I'm not surprised, but in addition to cod liver oil, if the kids get also some kind of a small amount of multiple micronutrients like vitamin C, D, E,
mm-hmm.
you know, these kind of things, the result will be much, much better than cod liver oil alone.
Yeah, I want to also emphasize that we have a great deal of individual variation, and I think this is applicable to autism and maybe to Alzheimer's and some other diseases. Jacob Creutzfeldt, definitely. We have individual differences that are usually genetic that we
yeah.
can't detoxify certain chemicals. And there's evidence, I interviewed Stephanie Marone on autism. There's scientific
mm-hmm.
evidence that the lack of one particular enzyme in detoxifying substances like thimerosal
mm-hmm.
in a patient whose fontanelles are already closed, once you increase the amount of the substance the brain is reacting against,
mm-hmm.
or the enzyme cannot, actually the enzyme cannot detox because they don't have the enzyme, then the brain swells because of the toxicity of the substance, and because the fontanelles are closed, then that causes damages to the frontal lobes. And of course, that's why when one child is affected with autism, the subsequent children are more likely to be, because there is that genetic thing. There's also a genetic thing in Jacob Creutzfeldt disease. It's actually in our family. One of my cousins died of Jacob Creutzfeldt disease, which I believe was really something else, which I can talk to you privately about later. But I think that our family has a detoxification defect where we can't detoxify certain chemicals that are found in food. And so when we get the chemicals at a certain level, the nerve cells will not release acetylcholine, and it looks like Jacob Creutzfeldt disease, but it's actually something else. So remember that we are all different. We all have potential for detoxification defects, and they're actually much more common than we thought originally. I think probably methylation defects, sulfonation defects. There's all sorts of defects within the pathways. We're discovering now. So, you know, it behooves you to know what your family has, because then you can specifically avoid certain foods or certain substances or vaccines or whatever that is going to trigger these.
Yeah, here I will give you a couple of, this is very important question of genetic disease, Susan, you raised it. And the question is always, you know, people don't do anything. I mean, heritable disease that you inherit from your parent. And at this time, they have nothing to do except wait for the disease to appear and then they treat the symptoms. For example, Huntington disease is Huntington disease. One example is many family history who has the Alzheimer's disease or Parkinson's disease. But here is what happens in those diseases. And this has been published. People have measured it. In a genetic disease, even though, for example, in case of a Huntington disease or the Alzheimer disease, they know that their parents had these genetic disorders, so they are likely to have it. But they have not developed the symptom of the disease. But when they measure in their blood the level of oxidative stress and inflammation, they were higher than the normal person who are not carrying that gene defect, suggesting that these oxidative damages start appearing earlier, and slowly and slowly they start damaging the cells, and then in the earliest days you appear the symptoms. So the question is, can you block that oxidative stress before the symptom appears, and therefore either delay or prevent the symptoms for a long, long time? And then you can say, well, yeah, it looks possible. But here is one experiment that we did in collaboration with the NASA at in California. That she has a fruit fly model of cancer, and but fruit fly don't develop cancer. So they inserted a human cancer-causing genes in fruit fly, and now they can develop cancer. And then they gave it proton radiations. And as you know, Susan, proton radiation is 10 times more damaging than X-ray and gamma rays. And so when they gave a proton radiation, over 90% of the fruit fly developed cancer. And when they treated the micronutrient that I developed for the animal study, which was really just a combination of antioxidant, various antioxidants. And then when they fed them 7 days before, and then continued to do after radiation, 7 days after radiation, none of them developed tumor.
That's so fabulous research. Wow.
Yeah, that's the first demonstration that the genetic basis of the disease can be prevented.
Can be blocked by micronutrients.
By micronutrients.
Absolutely.
Yes. And then recently, I'm working with a company called Engage Global in Utah. And in Utah, in polygamous community, they have a high incidence of a genetic disorder. And that one kid that I saw when I was there a few months ago, Her mother was, this kid was about 6-7 years old, and her mother belongs to a polygamous community, and she had so much genetic disorders. I mean, she showed me the picture before she put on a multiple vitamin preparation that Engage globally selling it, and called MMF, or military macronutrient formulations, that I developed it, and then after, and she went through many surgery and all kind of treatment, but nothing was happening. She was almost going to die the way I saw the film. And once they put on this macronutrient program, after 3 months, 6 months, they continued to progress. Now she can walk. I just could not believe it, you know, that a such a extensive person of genetic disorder can make such an improvement by simply supplementing with micronutrients. Now she can eat, now she can walk, and so I was surprised. And I thought that, well, maybe fruit fly genetics, you know, is maybe true, you know, in human as well. But, you know, it's just a one sample size. You can't make a general statement by one sample. So we are planning to have a 10-20 samples to study these issues.
Yeah, and it is very difficult, because you have to come up with the formulations based on your understanding of the pathways and the
right,
science
right.
behind what's going
right.
on. And
that's right.
There's multiple ways to not get the right formulation. You know, it almost has
that's
to
right.
be inspired, you know, by your own internal guidance.
Yes.
So it's tricky. It's not like proving that a drug works or doesn't work in a certain disease.
No, and another thing is that some of the formulation that I have developed, that this company is selling it in Engage Global, is that the they don't, their safety, we have tested formulation in, they actually, we have tested that formulation in a veteran returning from Iraq and Afghanistan at the San Diego Medical Center, Navy Medical Center in San Diego. And Dr. Michael Hoffer, who was captain there, was in charge, principal investigator there. And so they divided. It takes about 3 months before they had a concussive injury and came to San Diego. It took about 3 months by the time they came there. And so then they go through a standard care. A standard care is rehabilitation, some exercise, and some hydrocortisone, you know, some anti-inflammatory agents. I don't know exactly what is the standard care is there. So he divided the veteran in two groups. One group got the standard care, because you have to give them a standard care. And one of the group got a standard care plus the formulation that I developed for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was approved by the IRB. And the study was for 12 weeks. And within 12 weeks, when they decoded, it was a blinded study, not a placebo, but it was blinded. So nurse
right.
did not know who is who. And but nurse was saying, even after a week, saying that, you know, some people are doing better than the others. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So after 12 weeks, when the code was open, they found out the group who was doing better in all criteria of improving the concussive injury was getting both standard care plus the vitamin formulation.
Yeah.
And so there was another very good example that really a standard care can be further improved by providing an additional supplement. But, you know, but a study stopped there because, you know, Army has so complex procedure of getting all those things approved and things like that. But
yeah, I think it's funny, too, how the mainstream media every few months puts out an article about the dangers of one of these antioxidants. Have you seen those? You know, they'll put out this article that, one thing is really dangerous. I think the pharmaceutical industry in general is getting concerned that so much of the American public are self self-treating themselves with antioxidants.
Yeah, yeah. It is very unfortunate that they are not providing support, but you are correct. Because if you, and then they will say vitamin E or coenzyme Q10 or one of those or some herbs, you know. And they lump
bad
together
for you.
Yeah. They lump together if it is true also for, you know the story of beta carotene.
Yeah, tell that. That's very interesting in smokers.
And actually, if somebody would have given this question to a high school student, that look, mm-hmm. a smoker have a very high oxidative environment in their body, one, and beta carotene will be oxidized very quickly in that environment. Would you start mm-hmm. a clinical trial of $10 million? No, because it will get oxidized when you go after a few weeks, and then act as a pro-oxidant rather than as an antioxidant. I mean, it is so mind-boggling that clinicians have not, maybe they don't have a base nutritionist who can advise them.
They don't. They don't understand functional medicine. I mean, the model that most doctors are working on is the model of one changing one thing and seeing if it works for a disease. I mean, that's what they learned in school. But functional medicine is way more complicated, and the doctors that are going into functional medicine are really a lot smarter. I mean, in my opinion, they realize that you can't just look at one thing.
Yeah, and a good example would be that new finding that the NRF2 is involved in various diseases, and they said, oh yeah, we can develop a drug which will activate NRF2, and then.
Right.
But drug would be costly, and NRF2 activation will do some good, but not optimal good. But here is already existence that activates NRF2. Why you want to develop a drug? You see what I mean?
Well, to make money on it.
Yeah. I'm sure they will do. Let me
back up to the reason any of these drugs are made.
I have seen a series of review articles saying that, NRF2 is a very good target for developing a new drug for Alzheimer's disease, for Parkinson's mm-hmm. disease, because this is involved, oxidative stress is involved in a PTSD, so they want to develop it. But, when they develop the drug, they will do some good, but there is a lot of toxicity. And here is non-toxic agents which are already available that nobody is paying attention to.
Yeah.
Except like me and
true.
you. But another thing that, many audience don't understand is that not all multiple vitamins are same. For example, anytime, any formulation that I have developed, be always careful. First, it should be safe. Second, it does not have a iron, copper, or manganese.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go and look in multiple vitamin preparation in the marketplace, some of them have removed, since I have been talking for the last 20 years, some of them have removed iron, but are still they maintain manganese and copper. And mm-hmm. these three trace minerals, iron, copper, manganese, in the trace amount, in a tiny mm-hmm. amount, is absolutely essential for your body. But slight excess of the store can increase the risk of almost all chronic diseases. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because they interact with the vitamin C, which is always there, and produce a lot of free radicals. And so the question is, if that is the case, why you will add in a vitamin to vitamin you are taking for your good health? And so we don't. Another thing.
Yeah,
that
I wanted to just mention something to you that I found. We do muscle testing on a large number of people here. And not mm-hmm. once has anybody ever muscle tested for oral iodine. Now, that's the iodine that, sometimes there's some formulations that are okay, but the liquid iodine and most iodine and multivites, they don't muscle test for. They will muscle test for topical iodine, because many of my mm-hmm. patients do have an iodine deficiency. Almost all mm-hmm. of them have a thyroid issue at the level of the hypothalamus, and iodine mm-hmm. does help them, but there's something about iodine in multivite preparations that is not good for one. And I don't know, maybe why it's like you said, but it's definitely not testing in the large patient population.
Yeah, no, I mean, large population, if you get deficiency, of course you need it, but most of the cases...
Well, topical, you'll absorb it if you need it, but if you don't, you won't, you see?
That's the key. Yeah, that may be okay, but not in a multiple vitamin.
Yeah, not in a multivite, and, you know, there... I think we need to rethink multivite formulations, like you said. I think that I really agree with you that there are certain things that just should not be in multiple vitamins.
Another very important thing is that sometimes the vitamin will have a high heavy metal like zirconium, molybdenum, mm-hmm. Vanadium. It has no biological function.
Right.
And anytime you have anything which grows under the ground, you will have more than enough. And body has no mechanism of excreting.
Yeah.
And once they are there, they will accumulate and high them over a long range period of time. It will cause neurotoxicity. So we said, no, none of my formulation have these heavy metals. There is no need for it.
And the other thing that we muscle test for, because we're a surgery center, we found that if your multivite contains K2, mm-hmm. you probably shouldn't take it for 3 weeks before surgery and 3 weeks after surgery. As you know, blood clotting problems are much more common around the time of surgery, and we have everybody flying in from all over the world, so they're on airplanes, which is also a cause of blood clots. So our patients, anyway, should not be on any vitamin K for 3 weeks before and 3 weeks after. That doesn't mean that you need to not be on vitamin K. K2 is very important for utilization of vitamin D and for bone health. But around the time of surgery, you should only take a multivite that doesn't have K2 in it.
Yeah, K2, for if you don't have a problem of heart disease, if you don't have a problem, but you have a problem of bone osteoporosis, then, of course,
that's good for you, right?
It's very good for you,
If you're going to clot off your small vessels with heart disease, you don't want to be on K2 probably at all. That's right.
No, not at all. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you found that out with your formulation for heart disease.
Yeah. So I think we don't add any K2 until anybody needs it. You know, as a separate. If you have an osteoporosis issue, then you have a separate formulation.
Right.
But
would you like to tell the audience some of the other books that you've written with the subjects that you're treating with vitamins and antioxidants?
Yes, I think they are all available. The book is available on Amazon.com. I have written on Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, and Huntington's disease in one book. We have also diabetes issue in another book. We also have a heart, like you mentioned, one time we talked about it. And so these are the major issues in the book that you discussed today. So that's all. Else, we have one in Alzheimer's disease.
Did you do one on cancer?
Yes.
I think I interviewed you on that one, didn't I? Yes, right.
One that was on cancer. That was my first book.
You're hitting the most common diseases is what you're doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, the ones in America, anyway. Maybe not in foreign countries, but in America, these are what we're dealing with.
Exactly. And how the micronutrient can help.
Right.
Not only in the disease, in progress. And these formulations that I have developed have no interaction, but any of these drugs that people use for neurological disease or heart disease, there is no adverse interaction. And they have been safe, and so this is a very important issue too.
And so where do people find your formulations? Where do they go to?
Yeah, I think right now the best place to go would be the Engage, ENGAGE, EngageGlobal.com, and they are the one that right now most actively selling the formulation called MMF. M is micronutrient military, a micronutrient formulation. So abbreviation is MMF. And they have been tested most extensively, both in the animal model and human. So that's the best product right now, which can help. And then some additional products are being developed. But for the time being, that would be one of the best.
Great. Well, we're coming up at the end of our hour. Is there anything you'd like to share with the audience before we close?
No, I would say that, you know, in addition to taking a multiple vitamin, you also have a balanced diet, fresh fruits and vegetables. Mm-hmm. You do moderate exercise every day. Do meditation or relax. You can relax, because the stress is one of the most important things that can affect your health. Therefore, right. Anything you can do to reduce your stress mm-hmm. would be very helpful. And of course, you know, vitamins, and in combination with changes in the lifestyle, don't smoke, and mm-hmm. a good lifestyle would be extremely good. And for example, avoid excessive sun exposure. You know, mm-hmm. excessive sun exposure not only increases the risk of melanoma in the white mm-hmm. skin, but it can increase the risk of other non-cancerous disease.
It also ages you very quickly.
Yeah, I would like to say basal cell carcinoma. Yeah. So, right. and don't use any UV light, you know, sometimes mm-hmm.
right.
kind of
no
bar,
sun,
UV
sun beds,
light,
yeah.
you know.
And right.
so this kind of a small precaution can increase your health. And, mm-hmm. you know, so in addition to the supplement, you also mm-hmm. improve your lifestyle, you know, changes in the diet, and enjoy life, really.
And I want to make a suggestion to our listening audience to look at your family history. Your family history shows if you're more susceptible to cancer, to heart disease, to Parkinson's, to Alzheimer's, to diabetes. And if you've got a lot of that in your family history, go out and buy Dr. Prasad's book on that and learn about the diseases that, you know, you and your children are more likely to get. Not that you will get, but there's preventative things that you can do greatly described in these books, plus educate yourself on what to avoid. You know, there's all sorts of information in his books about lifestyle things that you can avoid with these diseases. So educate yourself. It's much easier to prevent a disease than it is to treat a disease once it's established.
Exactly. And the current formulation is also important, those who aren't active, having a drug and other things, you know.
Yeah.
They will improve the effectiveness of the drug rather than interfere with the drug.
Right.
And, of course, you know, you always consult with your doctor. And doctor will always say, most of the time, if you ask the question, can I have this micronutrient multiple vitamin? They'll say, oh, go ahead, take it. You don't do any good, but you go ahead and take it. But it
right.
will do good, you know.
Well, can you give the name of your website one more time before we close, the one where they can look at the formulations?
Yes, it is called Engage, E-N-G-A-G-E, EngageGlobal.com.
EngageGlobal.com. Okay, great.
It is in Utah. Its company is in Utah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate
you
taking
Suzanne.
The time.
It's always my pleasure.
We've been interviewing Dr. Prasad. His latest book, Treat Concussion, Traumatic Brain Injury, and PTSD with Vitamins and Antioxidants. Please take a look at all his other books because they're all great. Next week, we're going to be interviewing Marlise Carlin on the Simplicity of Stillness Method. And then the week after that, David Christopher Lewis on Living a Soulful Life. Thank you very much for joining us. This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show.